You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word.
We're taking a journey back in time today, back to the time of the kings, when the nation of Israel split in civil war. The northern kingdom has been taken as prisoners of war into captivity, and now the Assyrian army is at the gates of Jerusalem, threatening to take the southern kingdom too. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and in a few moments, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us to this exciting place in Scripture where we'll see King Hezekiah turn to God and call on a prophet named Isaiah. So grab your Bible and turn to 2 Kings chapter 19, and while you do, here are a couple of letters from the Bible bus. First, we hear from Joan in Middleton, New Jersey. Dear fellow Bible bus passengers, as I reflect on my time as a World Prayer Team member, my heart is touched by those writing who were in bondage to Islam and have come to saving faith in Jesus. How sad they cannot safely share this with family and friends because they may lose their lives. I am moved with joy and sorrow for them as they find and accept the truth no matter the cost. What an example of faith and courage and power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise His name. I am looking forward to my second year on the Bible bus. Well, thank you for sharing your heart and your faithful prayers, Joan. It's great to have you aboard the Bible bus. Next is an email from a longtime listener named Tomessa. I first heard Dr. McGee's program in high school in the 1950s in Long Beach, California. I used to stay with my elderly aunt during the summer, and she would turn on the radio at bedtime. She was blind, so listening to God's Word was a pleasure for her. To make a long story short, I've listened off and on all these years. I now make a small automatic contribution each month. I am 78 years old and in poor health. However, the Lord Jesus is more real to me today than ever. It is such a blessing to know God loves me without reservation. I thank Him daily for Dr. McGee's sound Bible teaching. I also enjoy the daily World Prayer Team email each day. Recently, I found out from your emails that the nation of Mauritania still has slaves. Every day I pray for godly change there. Please know that I thank God for your work and the faithful way you have continued Dr. McGee's program long after his promotion to heaven. Well, thank you, Tomessa, for your faithful prayers and your support of the Bible bus. Your note sure encouraged me today. If God's calling you to join listeners like Joan, Tomessa, and me in faithfully praying for and supporting Through the Bible, why don't you call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, or you can visit us at ttb.org/give. As we've said before, your partnership in this ministry is such an encouragement as the Bible bus continues its journey in your neighborhood and almost everywhere else on earth. We're grateful to those of you who have joined hearts and hands with us as we bring God's whole word to His whole world. And if God is using this study of His word in your life, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at BibleBus@ttb.org or leave a post on one of our social media platforms. Remember, you can also write to Box 7100. Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now let's pray with and for each other. Father, would you reveal to us the truth of your word? As the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, help us to be quick to obey as prompt. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come back to Isaiah, the prophet, here in the 19th chapter. He comes to the foreground, actually, for the first time. And it's during the reign of Hezekiah. Now, we saw last time that this man, Hezekiah, came to the throne at a time when it was very troubled and disturbed and uncertain in that land. The northern kingdom was taken into captivity by Assyria. Now, the army of Assyria has come to the very gates of Jerusalem, and this is enough to frighten Hezekiah. And added to that, Rabshakeh, who is the henchman of the king of Assyria, why, he is outside the gate, and he is sending out taunts and insults and making great boasting about what the king of Assyria is going to do to Jerusalem. And he threatens them. He said that the king of Assyria is going to take Jerusalem, going to take the people into captivity. Then he says, your God will not deliver you. And the reason he gives is none of the gods of the other people that we've captured has helped them a bit. Poor Hezekiah wilts under this, and naturally he would, because this man is just learning to turn to the Lord and to trust him. And so he appeals now to Isaiah, God's prophet. And I begin reading now at chapter 19, verse 1. It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that is, heard all of this boasting, ranting, and threatening, why it disturbed him. And he rent his clothes, he covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. That's a good place to go when you are in a mental turmoil that this man is in. It's time to turn to God. And we find here that he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Now he wants a word from God. I wonder if you've noted in these days in which we're living, we talk about we're a Christian nation, and we think of poor old King Hezekiah was sort of a pagan anyway, half pagan, and that people in that day were very pagan, and we are very sophisticated today, and that we're Christian. But we're not. Have you ever heard today, in all of our disturbed conditions, have you ever heard of any politician, any educator, any great leader, any military man, anyone in a high position today suggesting that we turn to God and that we appeal to Him, that we look to Him for deliverance? No, may I say that today they listen to this expert and this man who is a brain, he has a very high IQ, and he is one that can advise. These are the men that are listened to today. And they've been listened to now, friends, ever since I was a young man. And that's a long span now. And we get farther and farther into the night. Our problems are mounting. Our difficulties are overwhelming us today. And nowhere do you hear anyone, not even in the church today, is there an appeal to God, to turn to God in this dark and late hour in the history of our nation. Well, we are 200 years old, and we're a young nation, and we're already old and on the way out. The life of most nations has been, I'm told, around 200 years. Well, we've had it. It looks like we've had it. But there's no turning to God today. I believe that there was a sincere turning to God. Instead of an appeal to God, it's always, let's get together. Let's join up. Let's try a new approach. Let's get a new method. Let's call in an expert. Let's work on this from a different angle. Let's get an authority in a certain field, psychology or medicine or government or education, and they're going to show the way out. My friend, all of these great experts have moved us farther into the night. We're in trouble today. We need God. No nation ever needed God as this nation needs God at this hour in which we're living. Thank God old Hezekiah, if you want to call him half-pagan, go ahead and call him that. We need some half-pagans today then, because this man called on God. And now he calls for Isaiah. Now will you notice verse 3. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Now they brought this message. But He didn't say, even this man didn't say, our God. He says, thy God. Poor Hezekiah. Yes, maybe he's a half pagan, but he's got sense enough to appeal to God in a time like this. In fact, he hasn't any other place to go at this present moment. Now, verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I'll send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I'll cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Now this, may I say, was literally fulfilled, by the way, in a most wonderful way. But notice the encouragement that Isaiah gives to the king. He said, don't worry about this man. He's not going to come into your city. He's just a blowhard. He's just boasting and blaspheming. But God has heard him. God's going to deal with him. You do not need to worry. Oh, if we'd only learn to let God deal with our enemies. The trouble of it is, we deal with them, and then we remove ourselves from the place of faith, trusting God, and then God doesn't move in our behalf. And as a result, why, we come off on the short end of a deal. And if we just turn it over to the Lord would handle it lots better than we would, as he did in this case. Now, instead, though, of something happening immediately to the king of Assyria and the Assyrian army, why, they came back. They returned and camped outside of the city of Jerusalem again. Now, notice verse 8. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he's come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah. Now here they come, they're outside the wall again. Listen to this. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the children of Eden, which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Iva? Believe me, this is disturbing to Hezekiah. The king of Assyria swept everything before him. Why does Hezekiah think he will escape? Now, verse 18. And Hezekiah received the letter. See, he gets a letter now of the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. My friend, that's the place where you and I need to spread that disturbing letter that you received. And we get some wonderful letters here on radio. We get some of the other kind too, by the way. But may I say that we've learned a long time ago, we just turn these over to the Lord, let him work the problem out. And so far, he's done a very good job at that sort of thing. Hezekiah's doing a very wise thing. He spreads the letter out before the Lord. Spread out your problem, your trouble, before the Lord, friend. That's where you need to take your troubles, need to take your problems. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Martin Luther, by the way, prayed like that. I have several prayers of Martin Luther. And the way that man prayed, we ought to pray, I think, like that today. My, how these men could lay hold to God. Martin Luther could say, Lord, are you hearing me? Lord, hear me. Lord, let your ear be open to my prayer. And he cry out to God. You ever feel like that? Maybe God wasn't listening to you? Now, that's the way Hezekiah felt. He says, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their land. This man's told the truth. He's not boasting when he says that they've swept everything before them and they've cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they've destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Now, God's going to answer his prayer. He sends Isaiah, verse 20. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I've heard. I heard your prayer. You didn't have to shout. I heard you all the time. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? Now, he goes on to say here that God intends to destroy the army of Assyria. And God says, hast thou not heard, verse 25, long ago how I've done it, and of ancient times have I formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldst be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb is the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it's grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears, therefore I'll put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I'll turn thee back by the way which thou camest. God says, you're coming down into my land, you've made your boast, but I'm going to put hooks in your jaws. I'll pull you right up out of the land. I'm going to send you back home, give you a good spanking, and send you home. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. In other words, God says he won't even be able to get the crop that is growing out in the fields right now. And he goes on and makes this statement, and the remnant that is escaped to the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. Now you see Isaiah's making a very bold statement, but of course he's giving the word of the Lord. And the question is Isaiah a true prophet? You see, when Isaiah said a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a child, somebody said, my, that's a great prophecy. When'll it take place? Suppose he'd say, well, be 700 years. And I'm sure a great many folk could look at each other and say, well, Brother Isaiah, we don't know whether that'll be true or not. None of us will be around. But now there is an enemy outside the gates of Jerusalem. Assyria has swept everything before them. All nations have fallen before them, and they were feared and dreaded in the ancient world. They've come to the gates of Jerusalem and withdrawn. Now God says the army will be out there, but they are not even going to be able to besiege this city. They'll not even shoot an arrow into the city. Now you think that over for a moment. There are 100,000 soldiers around the walls of Jerusalem. Out of that many, you'd certainly find some trigger-happy soldier with a bow and arrow, and maybe he just wants to see what might happen, and he puts an arrow in a bow, he pulls the bow, and shoots it over the wall of Jerusalem. My friend, if he does that, Isaiah is not a true prophet of God. God says not an arrow is going to fall in that city. And he says it by the mouth of Isaiah. Now, that's the way you tell whether a prophet's true or not. False prophet could never have made a statement like that. Now, God says, I'm going to save this city, and the reason I'm going to save it is this: by the way that he came by, the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake. God does many things for his name's sake. And for my servant David's sake. That's important, too. You see, God loved David. He did many things for David's sake. And friends, David had a greater son, a virgin-born son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God does many things for him. He'll save sinners that will trust him as Savior. It's a wonderful thing. For my servant David's sake, for Christ's sake. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. God does it for him, not for us. Now, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out, and he smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. You know, I love the way this translation has it. When they woke in the morning, they were all dead corpses. But friends, they didn't wake in the morning. They didn't wake. Why didn't they wake? Well, they were dead. Those that did wake up found out that there were about 185,000 dead out there. They didn't wake up. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, and he went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Isn't that interesting? That prophecy was literally fulfilled in that day. Now we're coming to a great chapter, and one that's very meaningful to me. I told you I like this man Hezekiah, most delightful person since the days of David, since we've looked at David. We're going to see this man was sick, and he was sick unto death. Had a boil. I have a notion it was cancer. And because I have cancer, it makes this story very meaningful to me. And I happen to know that there are many of you out there that have cancer also, because you've written. That's one of the reasons I always offer the encouragement I do in my own case, because so many folk are out there. And friends, when you got cancer, you're under a cloud. I don't care who you are, what your situation is, you're under a cloud. And I want to be helpful. Hope I can be helpful. And next time, I want to talk about Hezekiah's illness and recovery. And we won't be looking at that which is fanaticism, but the way that God did it then, and I'm here to bear witness that God does it the same way today. How wonderful he is. And we're going to talk about that next time. Let me just get us into the atmosphere by reading the first verse of chapter 20. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Well, I want to tell you, that's pretty discouraging news. He didn't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't imagine you do. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He turned his face to the wall, prayed unto the Lord. He says, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I have great sympathy for that man. I did the same thing he did. And I cried out to God. May I say to you, God hears, answers prayer. We want to talk about that tomorrow. If you have a friend that has cancer or has a fatal disease, ask them to tune in with us next time. So until then, may God richly bless you.
What a great study. Why don't you join us next time and invite a friend or family member who may need to hear how God used illness in the life of Hezekiah and in Dr. McGee's life. hop aboard the Bible bus at ttb.org or use our radio station listings there to find a local radio station that carries Through the Bible. Or you can always call us. The number, of course, is 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you out. You know, there's so much more good instruction in God's Word ahead of us. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you here next time as our adventure in faith continues.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Our journey on the Bible bus today is supported by the prayers and gifts of fellow passengers as we travel through the Bible.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
You are listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our phone number that you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, we praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. This is your radio pastor, James Ross of New Life Assembly, as before stated. And I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be a blessing to each and every person that have tuned in to the broadcast. But before we get into the Word of God, I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners and all those that have tuned into the broadcast, even the backsliders. God wants you back. Praise God. Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I lift up the backsliders. I lift up whoremongers and adulterers, prostitutes, wine old, every sinner out there in Radio Land. I lift them up before you, Lord, because you've done a magnificent and mighty work. You went to Calvary's cross and took everything, I mean everything, that were offensive, that was sin, and you nailed it to your cross. So, Lord, I just pray right now for them, not only them, Lord, but for even those, Lord, that know you, that are still in a regressing state of mind. Their thoughts are different than what your word says. Well, Lord, I pray for them as well, and I ask your blessings to be upon each and every person, even this broadcast, as it goes out into the airways and find its mark in the heart of every person that will believe and trust in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God.
Glory to God.
You tune into this broadcast, I want to tell you, this is nothing but the whole truth. The truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one that is able to do all things. He cannot fail. He is who he said that he is. And what he has done is a magnificent work. So we want to praise him right now. And thank him for everything. Praise God. Oh, if you have your Bibles right now, I want to take you into the Epistle of Galatians. Praise the Lord. The third chapter. And we want to look at what the Word of God is saying today. It is not my impression nor my thinking. It is what the Word of God says. And I want to just ring out this into the ears of the hearers that just as what Jesus said when he met the deceiver or perhaps the tempter in Matthew 4, he told him that it is written. So I want to tell you today, it is written. I cannot add nor subtract. I only can articulate and tell you what the Word of God says. Praise God, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This anointing is tangible. Praise God. I tell you, if you're in the arena where a man of God is preaching the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you that whatever need that you have will be met, not by him, but by the inner witness, the greater witness, the one that lies on the inside that brings forth deliverance and healing and everything that you would need. He is there. I want to tell you that his word is true as well. Glory to God. He and his word is one. And I tell you that the God that we serve is a mighty God. Let's look at what the Word says. Come on out there in Radio Land, and all of you that have tuned into the broadcast, let's go to church. Minister Gloria, would you read that 23rd verse of Galatians 3? And we're going to come on down because many people are saying that they are children of God and so forth. We are not here to try and castigate anybody. We're here to preach the unadulterated Word of God. Praise the Lord. And if you tuned in, and you believe what's written, then you can have what it says. Praise God. Glory to God.
It says, but before faith came,
hallelujah,
we were kept under the law.
My God.
Shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed.
My God, my God. But I want to tell you today that you are no longer under the law. You are under grace. The grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is what we all, as children of God, must believe and operate in what it is written. Because so many are trying to go back under the Hebraic law and try to tell folks about what's happening under the old covenant. But my Bible tells me that we have a better covenant. If the first covenant, glory to God, was sufficient, there would be no need for the second covenant. But I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is that second covenant. He is the best covenant. He is the one that has brought all deliverance and healing and everything that we need. He's done it all. So the Word of God tells us that before the Word, matter of fact, Madam Minister Glory, read that 24th verse. Yeah,
it
praise
says, wherefore,
God,
the law was our schoolmaster.
Listen to what it's saying. The law was our tutorship, or perhaps our superintendent. In other words, the law was there, but it couldn't save anybody. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? It couldn't do anything but show you your sins. But I want to tell you, thank God for Jesus. And I want to tell you out there, if you tune in and love what's being said, somebody should say, thank you, Jesus,
amen,
because he came. Praise God. Go ahead, Minister Gloria.
To bring us unto Christ.
The law was our schoolmaster, as the scripture said. Apostle Paul was laying it out here, and I tell you, it's a wonderful thing here. He's telling us that the law was our schoolmaster. To do what? To bring us to Christ. Not to continue to walk and try to do things under the law, because the law could not save you. The law was full of works, but the law was still good. But it couldn't bring us to Christ. The law, glory to God, was only to show us our sins. But I thank God that when we realized that we were sinners, that we couldn't help ourselves, we had to look for the true and living God, the one that is able to do the magnificent, the one that everything was being pointed toward, glory to God. So the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But after faith had come, we no longer need that schoolmaster or that superintendent or that, perhaps that tutor or governor, whatever you want, the one that will oversee it. We don't need it now. We are operating under the grace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I say the grace of God. Thank God for his grace.
Yes.
Amen. I tell you, what would we do without the grace of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Go ahead, Minister Curry, read that.
Okay, it says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster.
We are no longer under him. So what is happening now? Glory to God. We are no longer under the schoolmaster. What is going on?
But we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Now, many people say, well, I'm a child of God. They carry Bibles and they wear crosses around their necks and they do all these symbolic things. But I want to tell you, the Word says here that we are all children of God by faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how we're children of God. We're not children of God because we get dressed up on Sunday morning and find our way out to whatever fellowship that you're going to. That does not make us a child of God, according to Scripture. Praise God. The Word says that we are all children of God by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to tell you, our faith has to be anchored in the one that has died for you, the one that gave his life for you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that died there on Calvary's cross took all of our sins and sicknesses, disease and griefs and sorrows and everything, and he nailed it to his cross. So our faith has to be in him and not in denominations, whatever it is. Not even the name over the church door, but it has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know many people, feathers are being ruffled now, but I want to tell you, you're carrying a Bible and you're talking about God, but you don't even know God. And it's not just a mere conversation, but it's a relationship. So the word tells us that we are all children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Good God Almighty, I'm telling you, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in myself, not what I'm able to do, but I anchor my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done. Where did he do it? He did it at the cross of Calvary. Glory to God. You know, many people today, they say, well, I don't know why you talk about Calvary. Calvary was a place of defeat. Well, I want to tell you, not to me. Calvary was a place of sacrifice. Glory to God. And that's where my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for the sins of humanity. All of those that will believe and receive him as Lord and Savior of their lives. Praise God, praise God. Let's go a little further there. Minister Glory, read the next verse. Listen, there.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Glory to God. I wonder how many people that are clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is if you've been baptized in Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about no water baptism. Many times people, when they read that verse of scripture, they immediately go to say, well, I've been baptized. I had a man to tell me, he said, well, I can't come to church right now because I have not been baptized. Well, I want to tell you, if your faith is in baptism, my God, you've missed it already. I want to tell you, the only one that can save you is not the church that you attend. It's not the pastor that's preaching whatever he's preaching. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way back to the Father. And Apostle Paul has given us an illustration. He said, well, listen, we are all children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith must be there in Christ. Glory to God. And the word says that if we've been baptized in Christ, we have put on Christ. Now, Paul never stopped talking about that baptism into the Lord Jesus Christ, because what he did is that he also told the Romans the same thing, the Church of Rome, glory to God. In Romans 6 and verse 3 through 5, I'm going to ask Minister Glory if she would read that, praise God, because this baptism is not in water. This baptism is in a person, amen. Praise God. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at your word. Believe what the word says, not what you're hearing over social media, and if it's not the word of God. As Jesus spoke, it is written, and it is written. And that's what we have to believe as children of God, and even those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the word of God, when Paul was writing these epistles, he wasn't writing to sinners. He was writing to the church. Glory to God. I tell you what's happening. A lot of things that are going on in the fellowships today, you know, it begs for a description. But I'm not here to try and downplay anything that's going on. I just want to preach the unadulterated word of God. I want to tell you the truth. And the truth will make you free, just as the word of God says there in John 8, verse 32, so to speak. Jesus said, if you continue in my word. He didn't say if you continue to come to church. He didn't say if you continue to wear a cross around your neck or carry a Bible or talk about what's going on. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My God, we should be free with whatever we've heard according to God's word, whatever is written, and we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this baptism, praise God, we've been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've put on Christ. I say we put on Christ. That's why we can't live any kind of way. Folks are doing a lot of things and saying, yeah, well, I'm a child of God. Well, first of all, the scriptures are emphatically clear. It tells us that we are all children of God by faith in our denomination. Oh. Is that what it says?
No,
it said faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, this is why so many folks are running to and fro, because they are trying to avoid the truth. But one day you're going to stand before truth. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this baptism in Romans 6, verse 3 through 5, Minister Glory, would you read that? And we'll come back to Galatians, because I feel in my spirit, praise God, that this is something that everybody need to know. I'm talking about everybody, praise God. Even those that are born again, we need to know, because we've looked at baptism and we say, well, wait a minute. Baptism, that's water baptism. But the scriptures doesn't say that. The scripture tells us that this baptism is in a person. And we don't want to park there too long, but we want to come back to Galatians and further illustrate what Apostle Paul was talking to the church of Galatia. You want to read that?
He says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise, hallelujah.
Praise God. His resurrection or our resurrection. But we want to go back to Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, praise the Lord, because it's the final thing there that we all want to try and understand. First of all, we ask the Holy Spirit, who is the best teacher that one can ever have. He is the teacher. He's the one that illuminates, and he gives us revelation concerning the scriptures. And what happened is that we must depend upon what he's saying. And Apostle Paul received his revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's sharing it with us. And we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So what is happening is that we are looking at what the Word is saying, and the Holy Spirit is illuminating the scripture to give us a better view in terms of what we're reading. So, Minister Gloria, you want to read the next verse there?
So there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Now, that is something. See, this is a very important verse of scripture here, because many people look and say, well, I'm Jewish, or I'm Latino, or I'm black, or whatever it is. But I want to tell you, if you are a child of God,
amen,
and the scripture tells us that we are all, he didn't say some of us, he said we are all children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So that eliminates any discrimination or anything that one would say, well, I'm better than the others, so therefore I come and join with this group of people. Let me tell you something. If you are in Christ, glory to God. I said, if you are in Christ, my Lord, there is no distinction. We are all one.
Amen.
Isn't that clear?
Yes.
How clear? I should be comfortable. You should be comfortable. No matter where we go, we sit there, and every one of us are brothers and sisters in Christ if we're born again.
Yes.
I said, if our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why people today, they're just moving back and forth, because when truth finds them, they want to run from truth. But I want to tell you, wherever you go, if the anointing is on the man of God preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find truth. And where are you going to go from there? Let's look a little further. Now, Paul's saying,
you know, Pastor,
Apostle Paul is saying,
In 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, it reads, for by one Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Now, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
That's the Spirit of the living God. Thank you for bringing up that verse of Scripture, Minister Glory. You know, the whole idea is that God looks at us all as his children that are born again, that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. So this is why Paul is saying here that there's neither Jew nor Greek. Listen, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. For we are all one. Good God Almighty.
Amen.
How can the body of Christ, if we're in Christ, be all different kind of people? Listen, let me tell you something. When people start talking that stuff, they're speaking on something that that is not good. Because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the same Father. We have the same bloodline. That blood is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go a little further here before our time, because this is going, it's just slipping away quickly. Glory to God. Go a little further there.
Well, it says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed.
My God.
And heirs according to the promise.
If you be Christ. Now, what it's talking about is using Christ with an apostrophe, which is showing possession. If you've been possessed or received the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're Abraham's seed.
Amen.
And heirs according to the promise.
Praise God.
Amen. What promise did we have? My God, we have the promise from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that whatever we ask him to do, he'll do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said that in his word there, that if we abide in him, St. John 15, glory to God, said if we abide in him and his words abide in us, that we could ask what we will and it'll be done for us. Minister Glory, you know, have you ever thought that why would Paul, Apostle Paul, start saying that there's neither Jew nor Greek? You know, there had to be some kind of confusion that was going on for him to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to make this type of a statement here. There's neither Jew nor Greek.
Right.
We know that the gospel is to the Jew first, but that don't mean that they are better than the Gentiles.
No.
Are you listening to what
That's
I'm saying here? So we are all one.
So
when the Jew come to Jesus, glory to God, and when the Gentile come to Jesus, there's no separation.
No separation.
We are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. And I can't feel that I'm better than anybody else because God has called me to preach this glorious gospel. Hallelujah. And I tell you that my feelings, I have to push aside whatever things that are trying to trouble me, that's trying to be brought into this glorious gospel, has to die.
Yes.
And I have to realize that we all are one.
Yes.
We all are one.
Amen.
Not
Amen.
Some of us, but we all are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people today, man, that they get so frustrated and flustered because you have women that are preaching the gospel. Let me tell you something. I thank God for the women preaching the gospel. Glory to God. A lot of folks say, well, all the woman's supposed to be silent in the church. Well, I'm jumping around for some other things here because the Spirit is giving me something to tell you all out there in Radio Land that we all are one in Christ.
Amen.
The anointing is not just for a man. My God, did the word come to man only? No, it came to us all. Praise God.
Praise
and
God.
What we want to do is preach the truth of God's word because all these other things. And I had that gentleman that called the radio station here and said, well, let me ask you a question. The scripture tells us in Corinthians, and Paul said that a woman is supposed to be silent in the church. I said, well, that's what you're reading. What revelation have you received from that? And I asked the question, are you married? He said, yes, I'm married. I said, well, when you come to church with your wife, your wife keep quiet in the church? The choir can't sing? The women singing in the choir? What are you talking about? He is taking something from some business meeting according to what the theologian, I'm not a theologian, I'm just a child of God,
Amen.
Was talking about and said, well, they're supposed to be quiet in the church. You mean to tell me when the word of God the power of God touched the woman, she can't prophesy. This is nothing but nonsense. But anyway, I'm not here to challenge that today. I just want to tell you that God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
And we all are one. Preach, women. The anointing get on you. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is there a little further there down in here? Glory to God, because we are heirs. Mm-hmm. We're heirs of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
But you know what, Pastor? Yes. I wanted to go back to Romans. I know we don't have much time.
No, we don't have.
When they said about heirs, I like that.
Yeah.
In Romans 8 and 16, it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs, hallelujah, with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I like that. Whatever he has, we have. Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah.
Praise,
praise God. Praise God.
We have a minute or so left here, and we don't want to close this broadcast out without offering an invitation. I mean, the invitation is to come to Jesus. It's not to hear what I'm saying per se, but to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we see such heavy flight in the churches today. Folks are just running all over the place because they don't want to get saved. They just want to be religious. But I just want to tell you here that we're going to extend this invitation, and Minister Gloria is going to say it. And I want to tell you, if you believe what you're saying in your heart, then the Lord Jesus Christ will save you. Praise God.
Open up your hearts right now.
Amen.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, that's a whosoever,
amen,
glory to God, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. That faith has to be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in your works, not in anything you've done, because grace of God brought the Lord Jesus Christ to us all, where we are able to anchor our faith in Jesus. Well, I want to tell you today, I thank God for you all, whoever you are out there that tuned into the broadcast. I pray that you will receive what was said and give the Lord Jesus Christ all of the honor and the glory. God bless you all, is my prayer unto the next broadcast. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.